This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that talks about the experiences we have in our theaters, the sights, the sounds, all of the fun that we have, and maybe a little tinkering here and there. This week's podcast is going to be a little bit shorter, probably a lot shorter, to be honest with you. I've got a very, very busy week. My daughter is graduating from college. I have to get down there. So most of my week is going to be spent at her college with the graduation. She's a nurse, so she gets pinned as a nurse at her college. So we have to go down for that ceremony. So congratulations to my daughter. I love you. I'm so proud of you. And I've got to get this out. I'm recording this on Sunday. So we got to get this all done so that I can get there. But it's going to be a lot of fun. I have a fun idea in mind, and I can't wait to get to it for you guys. So this week we're doing Terminator 2. I know I've already done Terminator 2. I don't think I've done these scenes though necessarily. I know I've mentioned a couple of them, but just three scenes I'm going to talk about. But a lot of fun. But in the meantime, you can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com, or you could check out all the podcasts, over a year's worth of podcasts now over on the website, BrightsideHomeTheater.com. Check those out over there. You can search, just hit the search button, and you can search any title you think I have. If it doesn't come up, I don't have it. If I have it, it'll pop up. There you go. Anything you want me to talk about, let me know and I'll talk about it. I'm trying to keep things going fast and furious here. Not the franchise, but I'm trying to keep things moving. I'm having so much fun since I've changed this. I've got so many big plans. I'm having a blast. So thank you to everybody. Thank you to my 13 patrons, and thank you to everybody following me over on Twitter and all the people on YouTube. I'm getting great comments over there, having a lot of fun. Oh, and I almost forgot. If you'd like to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater. Real simple. Or you can find it in the show notes or on my webpage. There's a little red button or a big red button. Click on that and it'll take you right to it. But patreon.com/brightsidehometheater, and you can click to donate as little as a dollar or as much as you'd like, and really appreciated. Not necessarily, absolutely not necessary, but greatly appreciated. So thank you to my 13 patrons and anybody else that would like to join. That's how you do it. Let's get to those listener comments. And this first comment comes from Mark V on Twitter at Husboo333. And he says, in regards to my Need for Speed podcast, he said, you got me to watch another movie I said I would never watch, and it was awesome. Never judge a movie by the first trailer, LOL. Lesson learned. And then he sent a picture of the Blu-ray that he had picked up. So thank you, Mark. It was kind of funny because I didn't get any comments on Need for Speed. So I was like, oh, maybe I'm all wrong on that one. I'm like, I don't know. I really enjoyed the movie. And then this one came in after I did my podcast that last week. And it's like, sometimes I'll do a movie like Lucy or something, and people, a lesser known movie, and people will, I'll get a bunch of comments. And I thought for sure I would get them on Need for Speed, but no, just basically crickets. I was like, oh, okay, sorry. I'm like, all right, but I really enjoy it, and so did Mark. And if you enjoyed it, let me know. You can email me or tweet at me. That would be great. Next up, let's get to the emails. Not a lot of comments this week because, again, it's a short week. I'm only recording this a few days after the last one I did. Again, Sunday morning, gotta get this out. So I've been corresponding with G. Cornell through email, and he's doing his own Mulan breakdown. And he says that according to, he watched the 4K and the 4K streaming, and this is the live action version. that just came out last year. And he says that between the two, there's very little difference. I'm going to be doing my breakdown of this when my daughter comes home from college in a few weeks. We're going to sit. This is one of the movies I want to sit down and watch with her. So I'm really looking forward to that, but I'll give my breakdown of that. But he's saying the streaming looks really good. It is hard to tell, is what he said. So I've found that before. I actually said that to him before he did the breakdown. I'm like, sometimes it's hard to tell. Other times it's as clear as day which one's which. So streaming's getting pretty good. It's getting pretty good. But I've also been corresponding with Gurinder. And this week, because of our conversation, I happened to mention Dr. Sleep, the movie. And he says, I'll read the email. He says, "Hi, DJ. I think Dr. Sleep was one of the first Brightside podcasts I heard last year. Right up there with Lucy, I think. I remember how much time you and Rob spent discussing My Little Pony. Have a good one, Gurinder." And I replied, I was like, haha, yeah, actually it was She-Ra, Warrior Princess. And yes, I remember we had a great time. And we went back and forth on that. And he's like, I don't know why I was thinking My Little Pony. But yeah, Rob and I had a great time doing She-Ra. That was the beginning of my growth, my big growth spurt, dealing with getting to have Rob come in, getting Tom to come on. And it then obviously the HT guys. Oh, and by the way, congratulations. Speaking of listener comments, I forgot to mention it in the open. Congratulations to the HT guys. I'm honored to be able to talk to them pretty much on whenever I want. They've been so great to me. I talk to Ara all the time. Brayden a little bit harder to get a hold of. That's why he hasn't been on. He's next up. But 1,000 episodes for those guys. And it's been, I mean, they've been they were a huge inspiration for me, for what I do here, their professionalism, how they've been doing it. And they encouraged me before they ever came on. They were both very encouraging, just like the AV Rant guys. But 1,000 episodes for Home Theater, basically one of the founding members of Home Theater Podcasting. And it's just awesome for them. I'm so happy for them. And I know they're not going to do 1,000 more. That's a lot, but it's sad. I was listening to them a couple weeks ago and I don't know, did anybody else get this vibe? But I feel like they might be not long for podcasting. I feel like they're going to get to 1,000. There was I can't remember what it was, but I know I had that vibe and I would hate to see that. But if it ever went away, I'm saying this right now, guys, if you ever want to come on the podcast just to talk and when you're retired from podcasting and you want to jump on, you're always welcome here. Just let me know. And I mean, it can be 5 minutes notice. I could be in the middle of podcasting. If I get a text from you guys, I'll be like, hang on, I'll pause the podcast. I'll pause the podcast and you jump on. They're great to talk to. Just like anybody in the home theater community. It's like, we're just looking for people to talk to. So yeah, congratulations, guys. I hope you have 1,000 more. I love listening to you every week. I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, but the reason I have my Sony projector is because of you. I think I keep forgetting to mention that every time you're on the podcast, but my Sony projector, I've been saving and saving and I wanted one. And it was your announcement on the show of a price drop and your recommendation of it and everything like that. And it's like, I listen every week for all of the best information over there at HD guys. And I congratulations, guys. Really, I'm so happy for you guys. So anyways, moving on to more listener comments. So sorry. Anyways. This next email came in last night from Thomas. So Thomas emailed me saying, is anyone reporting a SSL error has occurred, end quote, when trying to download your podcast? I've gotten this error on your last two podcasts and can't continue the download. If anyone has reported this error and there's a workaround, let me know. Many thanks, Tom. And I replied saying, I haven't had a report of that. And we went back and forth a little bit. And it sounds like he says he's using a podcast program called RSS Radio. And it wasn't working there. And he said it also wasn't working on Apple's default podcast. And it sounds like it's something on his end, but he hasn't gotten back to me yet. This was just last night. So I haven't heard if he solved the problem, but if anybody's having any problems, let me know, because like with Thomas, maybe it's like if somebody had it in the past, I would be able to answer him, but I haven't heard of any. And yeah, anything, if you're ever having any problems downloading, just let me know. Even if I can't help you, I'd like to learn, because maybe we'll work around it and you'll figure it out, and then let me know for future people. So, but thanks, Tom. Thanks for well, hopefully you've figured this out. If you haven't, me talking to you through the podcast isn't going to help, because you're not going to hear my response. So, but yeah, let me know. And the next email is an email from Carl. Carl sends a bunch, and it's only been a few days, so I've only got a couple or one to really comment on. And he sent this one. It's really cool. Motorola EVR home video format in the format war of 1970. And it's a 20-minute video, and it's basically old technology that's kind of cool to see how it progressed. Check out that video. It's in the show notes, and it's at DataBits. Is put it out on YouTube. So it's a pretty cool video on how, you know, where home theater, quote, home theater was back in the 70s into the 80s. So check that one out. And this last one that I have comes from Martin, and I love getting these things. Martin's a new listener. So Martin says, "Hi, just wanted to let you know that I'm a new listener of your podcast. It was recommended by my other favorite podcast, AV Rant. Your passion is contagious, and I really enjoy movies and home theater. Long live your podcast. Thanks, Martin from Canada." So thanks, Martin. I really appreciate it. Yep, AV Rant guys are great. That's what I replied to Martin. I was like, again, they've helped me. That's where the upswing was when I got on board with these guys, with AV Rant and HT guys. Thank you to AV Rant, and thank you, Martin. I really appreciate it. It's great when you find it. I mean, it's funny when you get new listeners, and especially the ones when you get like, I've been listening for months. It's like, oh, wow, cool. But yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Martin. I really appreciate it. And if you're new to the podcast, say hello. So you can email me, tweet at me, whatever. That'll do it for listener comments, but I'm really excited to get to movies and scenes this week for just because of this. So Rob emailed us last week, and he let us know that his niece, who's only 9 years old, is really into drawing and stuff. And I had to put this in my show notes. I want you guys to go there and check this out. It took her 8 hours for this 17-second video, but she drew every single frame, and it's really, really cool. It is so much fun. Like, I was a 9-year-old kid that loved to draw too, and we didn't have this technology, but we used to do the flip books. So I know what this takes. I know how hard it is. When I was a kid, even in high school, it was a dream to be a Disney drawer. Back then, they were still drawing frame by frame at the time. And that was, if you were an artist in school and you were like, there's an opportunity, you could be in animation if you could do something like that. And the opportunities to kids now are just, they could do it on their own. I mean, you can start your YouTube video, which is what she wants to do. And she did a fan for a 9-year-old to do this and to draw each and every frame. It's fantastic. So check that out in the show notes. Like I said, I'll have that. It's not going to be hard to find. Please go there, click on that, give her a view, give her a like. She's 9 years old, and that stuff means the world to her, and she did a fantastic job. So she totally deserves it. But, hey, how do you not promote an artist? You know, we all got to start somewhere, and she's off to a great start. This next scene I'd like to talk about, not as good. Well, I can't say that. It is really good. So Warrior on HBO Max. So I can't remember where it was originally aired, but it wasn't on HBO. HBO bought it, and they have 2 seasons on HBO Max, and there is a 3rd season coming out. My buddy John has been telling me about this for months, if not a year, because he really enjoyed it. But the end of season 2 is kind of left on a cliffhanger. You want more, but there was no more at the time. So we're very excited HBO Max bought it, and now it's going to go on. I'm still in the middle of season 1. But here's what I wanted to talk about. It doesn't look very good. It doesn't look good in your theater. It doesn't sound great. It sounds fine. It looks good and it sounds good. But it's not like if you went over and you watch something like Jupiter's Legacy over on Netflix, which has great picture and great sound. Whether you like the story or not, that's a completely different. But as far as home theater, you know, aesthetics, Jupiter's Legacy, really good. Warrior, you can definitely watch it on your regular TV if you'd like. You can watch it in your theater, but I feel like you're going to find the same thing I did, which is the picture is like the black levels aren't there. There's no HDR. There's no Atmos. The sound isn't that dynamic. Like I said, it just sounds good and it looks good, but it's not home theater worthy. And I thought I'd bring that to people's attention because what I'm hoping is, where HBO Max bought it, I'm hoping that season 3 will blow us out of the water because there's so much opportunity here with the color palette that what I've experienced so far, that with HDR, this thing would look fantastic. It's a period piece too. So there's a lot of opportunity there to be artistic and show off some great colors and great images with the use of, you know, a 2020 Rec 2020 and an HDR and a nice Atmos mix, especially in some of these fight scenes. HBO Max has an opportunity here and hopefully they take advantage of it for season 3, because from what I've seen out of season 1 so far, it's just not there. It's just not there, but it's definitely worth checking out. Also, I'd like to add in Mulan, the aforementioned Mulan that I talked about from G. Cornell, the email, but I'd like to put that in recommendations because he says, regardless of the plot and what you think of the story, it's a movie to watch just for how good it looks. So definitely check that out. I'm looking forward to that one, but I wanted to get that one in on movies and scenes as well. I know I already commented on it, so. All right, let's get to this week's featured movie. I use in quotation fingers because this is going to be short. I have three scenes from Terminator 2 that are some of my favorite. A couple of them are very subtle. Another one's not so subtle, but it's one of my scenes that I use to calibrate my theater or test my theater, if you will. Not really calibrate it, but Terminator 2 is basically, I mean, it is a fantastic home theater experience from beginning to end. I mean, you can't go wrong. But what I wanted to do this week is I wanted to play a couple of scenes that whether you have a dedicated room or a great home theater, or you have a sound bar with a couple of rear channels, something that you can take advantage of to experience some fun, to have some fun and have some scenes that you'd be like, oh, that's pretty cool right there. First scene is very subtle. The second scene is not so subtle, but there are some subtleties that I talk about. And the last scene, not subtle at all. But the one thing about these scenes that they have in common, well, maybe not so much the first one. The first one's a little bit more modern. But one of the things that they all have in common is that this movie was made in 1991. Probably filmed in 1990. And the technology that they used to do it was fairly simplistic compared to what they have now. So this was basically made to be set up in a 5.1. At first, it was probably set up to be made in Dolby Pro Logic. And then on Laserdisc, you could get it in Dolby AC3, which was the first discrete surround sound after Pro Logic, which Pro Logic was just... The idea of ProLogic was your center channel was matrixed off your left and your right. And then as we progressed in the 90s, we got more discrete surrounds and we got discrete center channel and stuff like that. But this stuff here was all meant, like, I played this originally through a VHS tape because I didn't have, when it first came out, I hadn't got my Laserdisc player yet. So watching this on VHS and the second two scenes were definitely played through a VHS tape through my home theater system at the time. And they played well then, and they've only been gotten better over the years. And that's how I've been gauging my system. I watch these scenes over and over, and especially this third scene that I'm going to talk about, probably one of my favorite of all scenes. and I'll explain why. But Terminator 2, you can't go wrong. There's so many great scenes for you to check out. If you know of any that I don't list here, let me know and we'll talk about those. But I'm pretty sure I talked about them. This was one of the first movies, one of my very first podcasts I talked about. I don't think I talked about two of these scenes. I definitely talked about the third one, but I love to revisit the third one. So let's do that and let's get to this first scene because the popcorn is popping. We're having fun. We're blasting it out. My daughter's graduating. Let's get to it. So this first scene is, this is one that I've learned about over the years recently, not recently, probably in the last 10 or 15 years. With a better system, I was able to pick this out. So opening scene of the movie, scene one, we'll call this, scene one, children playing. Now, at the way this the movie opens is we get the Kuroko logo to start. Then we go into the highway, then the kids playing on the playground, and then we get a nice jump scene right to the future. And that's where the camera starts panning over the skulls in the ground. It's very blue, kind of like my theater. Wonder where that came from. Yeah, he didn't copy from me. I'm copying him. So Cameron, that is. So very blue looking, monochromatic. You got the skulls. You've got the later on, you have the Terminator crushing the skull. And at 1 minute and 50 seconds, we have Linda Hamilton's monologue saying 3 billion human lives, dot, 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 goes on from there. But at 1 minute and 42 seconds, it starts and it's very subtle. I would be willing to bet, not even willing to bet, I did it under, I think it was, I don't remember what I had it under. I think it was under 20 dB, negative 20 dB. You can't really make it out. But at reference level, you can hear the children playing. The ghosts of the children past, as we're in the future now, you can hear them playing very subtly. That's something I didn't get that early on in my early viewings with VHS and then Laserdisc. And to be able to get that now and hear it, I get very nostalgic because of this movie, how much I've done with this movie over the years. And to be able to hear that now, it's something that I'm wondering how many people actually know about that one. It's very subtle because this opening scene, everybody goes right to it. I used it, like I said, I've used it as a reference scene to show people off all the way back to 92 when I had it in my home on VHS. And all the explosions and everything. It's a great opening scene. So, but that one little subtle thing of the children playing at 1 hour. Yeah, 1 minute and 42 seconds. You get 8 seconds of that. And then Linda Hamilton's monologue comes in at 1 minute and 50 seconds. Now, this next scene, this was one that I used as a reference material back in the day as well. But this one here is very subtle. And it's one of my favorite. I've mentioned it on the podcast a few times. This one here at 37 minutes and 46 seconds, I called this appearances are deceiving. You'll get that in a second, but it's the phone ring. And it's at, like I said, at 37 minutes, 46 seconds exactly is when the phone rings on the left side of the room. And I loved that because my first time in my theater, which was my bedroom at my parents' house, I had this all set up and I had the speakers pretty far apart in the front of my room. I was in a tiny room that literally took up the size of a waterbed, a king size waterbed that I had. And off to the side was where my phone was. So when I heard that phone ring, I would look to that side of the room and I'm like, oh, maybe the phone's ringing. Cause it wasn't like it is now. When the phone rings, it vibrates in your pocket. No, we didn't have that back in the 90s. So I loved having people come into my room. I'm like, hey, come on in. And my buddies would come over and they'd scooch up on the bed and we'd watch a movie or whatever. I'm like, watch this scene. And they'd have to look to this. They would look too. And I loved that. It was because that was a big deal back then. And Cameron with his pans and everything that he does, it played so well back then. In even on, this was on a VHS tape using a hi-fi VCR, which, you know, a forehead VCR back then was a big deal because you were able to scrub the movies a lot better. You could, you know, frame by frame, and it pulled out better sound. You had a hi-fi, you had better sound. So I absolutely love this scene, but then as the scene goes on, it jumps to back and forth from the kitchen to the phone booth. And at 37:58, we jump back to the phone booth and listen to how your room changes. It's like when you're in the kitchen, it sounds like it's in a kitchen. It's very quiet. You hear the noises of, well, at first she's chopping the celery. And then when they jump to the phone booth, you can hear the street noise. You can hear the wind moving. You can hear air moving, that is. And it's a lot different. Very, very subtle, but nice ambient sound going around your room. And that was even the case back then. And people were like, this was very unusual, especially for I was 21 at the time, but a 21-year-old kid having this set up in his bedroom, people were amazed by it. Now it's they expect a little bit more, but if you have your system running reference level, even in a living room on a, you know, a 5.1 or a good surround sound setup with a, you know, a center channel, a sound bar and some rear channels, these three scenes, you're going to get a lot out of them and you'll be able to hear it. I don't know how you would gauge reference level using a sound bar, but turn it up pretty loud. And these scenes here, you'll be able to pull a lot out of them. But then from there at 38:04, we're back into the kitchen again, and you can hear the dog barking at the right side of your room, right rear channel. And again, this is pretty much set up for a 5.1 system. So it's going to, even in it, like I said, if you have a sound bar and rear channels, you're going to get that, and you're going to get separation in your home. I've done it. My dogs have looked in that direction. We enjoy it. I use a Sono setup with two ones in the rears, and you do get that nice ambient sound with that. But it is, obviously, it's better in a home theater environment. But going back to older movies like this, you have a really good opportunity to really experience a good home theater setup or a decent home theater setup, even with a soundbar and rear channels, because those movies were simpler made. I don't know, but you know what I mean. So that one there that's really nice. You get the dog barking there, but then a little bit more modern at 38:15, the fridge door closing on, it's a jump scene. They come back, just the camera pans back to the front and you get a jump scene, and the foster dad is closing the fridge door, and there's a nice bump on the right side of your room. That right front channel all of a sudden just goes boom. And it actually sounds like a double shot because you hear the fridge door and it's like he kicked the kick plate or something, but it's an extra bump to that. But that was nice. But then let's get to one that everybody knows. It's still great to talk about. And at 38:29, we get the stabbing on the right side of the room. And it's when the foster mom, who is the, you know, T-1000, reaches out with her left arm and stabs the foster dad in the face. And the first time you're seeing this, you don't know that. All you know is you're not even sure. You didn't even know that that was the T-1000, but stabs him right through the mouth, through the carton of milk. But that sound, and again, that's what made this so much fun back then, is that you could play this scene, and at first you had the phone ring on over there and your friends are looking and like, oh, that's so cool. And then over there you'd be like, oh, listen to this. It's like on the other side of the room. It was just it was so nice. And then at 38:54, we have, this is another very subtle one. It's a leather jacket. And you can hear Arnold's leather jacket. It's just, just the detail of that sound. And again, at reference level, you can hear the crunching of the leather jacket when they pan back to the phone booth. And it's, and then he hangs up the phone and he slams the phone down, and that's slightly on the right side, but the leather jacket is on the left side. So again, you hear Arnold's like on the left, and then the slamming of the phone down on the right side of your room. Then they go back to the kitchen and you can still hear the dripping noises because she still has the foster dad pinned to the wall, and you can hear the dripping noises on the right side of your room, and that's at 39:26. And obviously the ominous score comes up, and she hangs up the phone. That's at like center channel. But then as the T-1000, as she changes from, well, the T-1000 changes from the foster mom's image back into the cop's image, we get the, you know, nice sound there, and the movie takes off, and we go on from there. But all of this was very subtle, but it was such a big deal back then that nowadays we kind of take these things for granted. But again, even in a nice setup with, you know, center channel or a sound bar and rear channels, a couple of rear channels, you really can enjoy these scenes. They are so much fun. And now for this last one at 1 hour, 41 minutes and 38 seconds. This is one that I have used to test my system for, well, since 1992, since I first heard this scene. But then I heard a demonstration somewhere in the 90s where it was so clear and it was so good that from left to right, and this is where I get my love of Pans from, that I was just so blown away by how good it sounded at this demonstration that I wanted to go home and I wanted to duplicate that in my system. And I couldn't. My system wasn't good enough. My speakers probably weren't sensitive enough, whatever. I didn't have the knowledge that I have now between amplifiers, sensitivity, and seating distances, and blah, 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 and all that stuff that goes into this. And I just kept trying and trying using volume control, but I use this scene all the time. If I get a new piece, I watch this scene. If I get a new projector, I watch this scene because I want to see it. I want to hear it. I want to hear that sound as clear as day go from left to right. And it's not even a pan. That's what's so much fun about this scene. And again, 1 hour, 41 minutes and 38 seconds. It's the Cyberdyne hallway. And this is it's another fantastic scene in the movie. There's so much going on. They're going to blow up Cyberdyne. And Miles is about to sacrifice his life for the betterment of all mankind and everything like that. And you have the minigun and Arnold shooting all of the cop cars, and he won't hurt anybody and or kill anybody. But there's so many great scenes here and sounds going on. But it's this at 1 hour, 41 minutes and 38 seconds, that Cyberdyne hallway. So what happened is first off, they're trapped in a room. Arnold has just gone through a wall to get Linda Hamilton out of there. He pulls her through, and then he says he opens a hole in the wall by blasting it with the grenade launcher. And you go from inside that room to a shot outside in the hallway, and you're just basically looking down the hallway, and on the left side of your room, you get an explosion. It's like, boom, it just blows right out. But that piece of wall or whatever metal goes flying across the room, and like that, just right across the room, and it slams into the other side. So you get a nice metal clanking noise on your right side. And it's so like when a car drives by, like we have earlier in the movie, when Arnold pulls up on the motorcycle, or when the T-1000 pulls up, Robert Patrick pulls up in the squad car, and you get the noise, you know, you get nice pans, but that's a pan. That's somebody going, you know, the sound is actually moving. This is a sound appearing, and then boom, it shows up on the other side, but it happens so fast. It's like, you think it's a pan, but it's a bang. It is such a great scene. And again, you don't even need to have rear channels to enjoy this scene. All you need is a good, you know, a good soundbar with good separation that between your left and your right channels. It's so much fun. And it's like just that explosion. just before doing this, I sat down. I can't tell you how many times I watched it. 10, 15, 20 times, just because it's so quick. It's a bang, ba-boom. You hit boom, clang, boom, clang. So much fun. Definitely. I get a new piece of equipment. I get new speakers. When I got my new speakers just almost 2 years ago, year and a half ago, got them for Christmas. This is the scene I watched. I couldn't wait to just, I wanted to hear the clarity. And the speakers I had before, my NHTs that I had before, they sounded great too. And this one here, I don't know. I bought new speakers, or my wife actually gave them to me for Christmas, my new NHTs. I was so excited to hear it and all the clarity that I got. And it's all in your head, this scene sounds so great. It's so much fun. And that's what makes home theater fun, is that you can just jump around and go from scene to scene like this. And this movie has a ton of them. Cameron loves his sound, loves his pans. And it's just, these are just three of my favorite scenes that I like to do. Pretty subtle. They're not big in the movie. There are far bigger scenes, and I've talked about them before, and I'll talk about them again. But I just wanted to take, you know, this week when I had to be a little shorter, I wanted to take that opportunity to point out these few scenes, and hope you guys enjoy them. Let me know what you think. Let me know in the comments, and we'll talk about it then. Or if you have another subtle scene from this movie that you want me to talk about, let me know as well. Let me know. You can email me, or you can text me. Why do I keep saying that? You can hit me up on Twitter. So we'll see you there. Thank you to my 13 patrons. Thank you to all my Twitter followers. Thank you to everybody over on YouTube. Appreciate everything. Have a great week, everybody. Hey, congratulations to my daughter. I love you. Way to go. And I'll be back next week with more scenes, more fun. Let's have some fun. And hey, go push play.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.